Hardship and misery? Question mark. Purport. Karmana daiva netrena jantu dehopa pattaye. The living entity receives a particular type of body according to his karma or fruitive activities. The material pleasure derived in the material world from one's particular body is based on sexual pleasure. Yan maithunathi grihamethi sukham hituccham. The entire world is working so hard only for sexual pleasure. To enjoy sexual pleasure and maintain the status quo of material life, one must work very hard. And because of such activities, one prepares himself another material body. Prahlad Maharaj places this matter to his friends, the Asuras, for their consideration. Asuras generally cannot understand that the objects of sexual pleasure, the so-called pleasure of materialistic life, depend on extremely hard labor. We will also read text number 47, the translation and purport, so that these two are tied together. Text 47 translation. The living entity who has received his present body because of his past fruitive activity may end the results of his actions in this life, but this does not mean that he is liberated from bondage to material bodies. The living entity receives one type of body, and by performing actions with that body, he creates another. Thus, he transmigrates from one body to another through repeated birth and death because of his gross ignorance. Purport. The living entity's evolution through different types of bodies is conducted automatically by the laws of nature in bodies other than those of human beings. In other words, by the laws of nature, prakrite kriyamanani, the living entity evolves from lower grades of life to the human form. Because of his developed consciousness, however, the human being must understand the constitutional position of the living entity and understand why he must accept a material body. This chance is given to him by nature, but if he nonetheless acts like an animal, what is the benefit of his human life? In this life, one must select the goal of life and act accordingly. Having received instructions from the spiritual master and the Shastra, one must be sufficiently intelligent. In the human form of life, one should not remain foolish and ignorant, but must inquire about his constitutional position. This is called Athato Brahma Jigyasa. The human psychology gives rise to many questions which various philosophers have considered and answered with various types of philosophy based upon mental concoction. This is not the way of liberation. The Vedic instructions say, Tadvijnanartham Sagurum Eva Bhigachet. To solve the problems of life, one must accept a spiritual master. Tasmat gurum prapadyeta jigyasu sreya uttamam. If one is actually serious in inquiring about the solution to material existence, one must approach a bona fide guru. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Bhagavad Gita 4:34. One must approach a bona fide spiritual master by surrendering himself, pranipatena, and rendering service. An intelligent person must inquire from the spiritual master about the goal of life. A bona fide spiritual master can answer all such questions because he has seen the real truth. Even in ordinary activities, we first consider gain and loss, and then we act. Similarly, an intelligent person must consider the entire process of material existence and then act intelligently, following the directions of the bona fide spiritual master. Oma jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kata Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhe Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukham Karoti Vachalam, Pangham Langayate Girim, Yat Kripahatamaham Bande, Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. Thank you all for joining us for this morning's Bhagavatam discussion. We just read two verses from 7th canto, 7th chapter, text number 46, which is written on the board, and 47. So, today is a very auspicious day for multiple reasons. So, we'd like to remind, so that what, or at least get reminded ourselves, what is some of the significances of today, other than being a Saturday and a weekday, weekend. Holiday. Anyway. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day. That's correct. So, very auspicious day. One of our disciplic successions, stalwart acharyas, his appearance day today. So, in honor, we will be celebrating starting from 10:30. And then, of course, all the disciples and aspiring disciples are followers of Rupa Goswami and followers of Srila Prabhupada. They fast until noon, and then the festivities. Any other significance for today? Yeah, Srila Haridas Thakur's disappearance day. Nama Acharya, the person who we have been asked by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself to follow, to perform the Yoga Dharma. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach us the Yoga Dharma, and he has shown himself. Okay, if you want an example, follow this person. And that person is Srila Haridas Thakur. And today is his disappearance day as well. Any other significance to today? Locally? Maybe not nationally or internationally. Today is our monthly Sankirtan festival. So, today at around 2:30, Acharya Nishtha Prabhu will be leading us, and Steve Prabhu will be leading us, correct? At 2:30, we will all be leaving from here to hit the downtown Chicago to at least take some inspiration from Haridas Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Prabhupada, and our Acharyas, and try to see what we can do out there in the real world by giving or distributing the holy name and Srila Prabhupada's books. So it's a very auspicious day. I'd like to keep my discussion to very concise and, I guess, mostly to the point, to the extent I can. And I need your blessings in order for me to do this service. This verse, the first verse, talks about Prahlad Maharaj is giving. He's reminding himself, and he's remembering himself, and then he's as a means of sharing, he is sharing these instructions that he heard from his spiritual master Narada Muni in the mother's, in his mother's womb. And then he's discussing various topics that are of interest to everyone, not just the living entities, even the non-living entities, and across the whole cosmic manifestation, and especially for the human beings or those who have taken the form of human life. What is the purpose of their life? So he has been systematically giving us the path to perfection, path to Krishna. And while he is describing the path to perfection, he is also mentioning what most of the people having come to material world do, which is most of us. And he's reminding us that what is the purpose of such activities, or why we are doing such activities, what is it that we are trying to accomplish, and most importantly, what is the futility of such activities? Because materialistic life, one of the prime responsibilities of a spiritual master, it is said in Shastra that the spiritual master, his duty, one of the main duties, is to preach the futility of the materialistic life to his disciple. If one doesn't do, then one may simply carry on with his materialistic way of life, thinking that I'm doing all right. There are so many so-called gurus, so many so-called babas, so many so-called spiritual leaders, and when we approach them in ordinary world, they may say, okay, what is it that you want, bhakta? And then the bhakta may say, I want this and this. And then, okay, you face your head towards east, sit in this position, do this yajna, and then while you are leaving, put some dakshina in the hundi, and then you will get this perfection. And by the way, you just do whatever you're doing, all sorts of things that you are already doing. You don't have to give up anything. Whereas Prabhupada used to say that if I have even given relaxation of the four regulative principles, even for one, my movement would grow like anything. We follow four regulative principles: no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, and no gambling. Even if one of those has to be said, like, okay, for you, it's only three principles. For you, it's only three principles. You select those randomly. Imagine this temple hall right now. But Prabhupada did not compromise. And that's the coming from the disciplic succession. What Prahlad Maharaj is saying here is that, my dear friends, we have received this body, Nirupyatam, it has been proved. It's like we go to a lab, we do some experiment, we mix hydrogen with oxygen and water. There we hence proved. It has been proved, not just by this generation, generation after generation, that there is suffering and there is so-called happiness in these fruitive activities. And why people are performing these fruitive activities? What is the meaning of Hiranyakashipu? Can anyone say? Or one of the meanings that's often described? Hiranyakashipu. There you go. Soft, bad, and gold. So why does anyone need gold? Gold is needed because that's the commodity with which we exchange things. Or gold is the precious of all the commodities. It's, if you have gold, then you have everything. Then you can exchange it for anything, whatever the precious thing that you may want to get. And why do we need, or why does Hiranyakashipu need a soft bed? because he wants to sleep and enjoy the pleasures of sense gratification. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying that this is the act, this is the bondage, this is the acts which bond us to the same repeated taking this material body. And not just in this human form of life, but in the 8.4 million species of life. Yan maithunathi grahamethi sukham hitucham. The entire world is working so hard only for sexual pleasure. So when we look, so many people, if you approach a millionaire, the common thing they say is, oh, I only remember the first million. After that, I don't remember how the millions just multiplied themselves. Because they don't have the time, they don't have the ability to discern what is right or what is wrong anymore. It's just the same working tendency to gain something. And why does anybody want to earn more money than what is needed? Is Isavashyam principle as described in Ishopanishad, why does anybody doesn't want to follow that? Why does anybody want to have extra money than what they can really spend? According to Rupa Goswami, the instruction is that you earn, and then out of that 50%, give to Krishna, 25% for family emergency, 25% should go to relatives. So that principle, if everybody follows, they don't need to earn extra. The extra comes when we distinguish that I want to enjoy this so many billions of dollars or millions of dollars, whatever that extra is, because there is a tendency for enjoying. Whatever we require, God has already provided. The extra is required. So in order to get that extra, one has to work hard. One time, Srila Prabhupada's story, in other words, it's shared by Srila Prabhupada, this story. Prabhupada was sharing in class that in a church in London, somewhere a suburb or a village close to London, I believe in United Kingdom, the pastor is preaching, and that particular day, the audience were all people from, the workers from mines, like they work in a mine. And then the pastor was saying that you all work so hard. You don't know what's going on outside your world. But we have to understand the goal of life. We have to be liberated. There is heaven. And by the way, when you go to the heaven, then you all have to... there is no darkness, like in mind, because they're all the time they're accustomed to is the darkness. So many feet under the ground, coal mines, like dark, everything is dark. So when the minister tried to, or the pastor tried to preach to them, say that it's hell, like what you are trying to do is like hell. And similarly, there is a hell out there also, which is also dark, just like this place. But there is a heaven which you can go to if you follow the path of God. But there is all pleasures that you can enjoy. So he was trying to explain to them the benefits of going to heaven. And then one person asked, like, okay, well, will there be any newspaper there? And then he said, no, there won't be any newspaper. Then, oh, that's as good as hell then. So people cannot accept the regular or monotonous life being different than what it is. Or in other words, they cannot accept to do something other than what they were already trying to do. One time, Radhika Raman Prabhu was giving a class, and then he was sharing what something Gopal Krishna Maharaj said, that forget everything. that whatever we are trying to preach you. Suppose you have been trying in this life, trying to become successful in whatever materialistic way of life you're trying. Supposing that you've been doing for so many lifetimes, which is true, we have been trying to do this for so many lifetimes. Give this one opportunity, this one lifetime opportunity to Krishna, and see what it, if it makes any difference. Just one lifetime. And if it works out, perfect. If it doesn't work out, you can go back to your program. So give this one lifetime. But people are so reluctant because there is some pleasure in or some unexplainable happiness that they want to derive in reaching for the unachievable. The happiness in this world, as we heard, is only perceived on a bodily or at best mental level. And it's temporary. Whereas the happiness that one gets, as soon as one comes in contact with the occupational or the constitutional nature of oneself, is completely different, of a different nature. So, in the next verse, Prabhupada discusses the different types of how the living entity goes from different types of body. He says, By the laws of nature, the living entity evolves from lower grades of life to human form, which is, we all know, of the 8.4 million species of life. And then, the human being must understand the constitutional position of the living entity and understand why he must accept a material body. This chance is given to him by the nature. So only it is not some opportunity given to other entities. This chance is given to only the human beings. And that's whom Prahlad Maharaj is appealing, this message, that as long as we are accustomed to enjoy separate from Krishna, we have to take body. We have to go in the repeated cycles of birth and death. Whereas the solution beautifully Prabhupada is giving in the purport is that one has to inquire what is the goal of life. In today's world, goal of life can mean anything for any kind of person or from ordinary people who are not aspiring spiritualists. They may not have any type of goal of life. Some people consider life to be a journey, which means they say, like, it's not where you go, it's the journey. Like, it's, in other words, it's not what you achieve, it's just going through the motions and then relish the moments, which if it's not applied in the right context, can just go around, just in circles. What's the purpose? Without knowing the purpose, going to anywhere, what is the purpose? Or what is the benefit one can derive? So Prabhupada is saying that even in material life, we ask, if somebody comes and says, do this particular thing, we ask, like, okay, what is in it for me? Or why should I do this? Is it going to benefit? Is it not going to benefit? Am I really ready to do this or not? And then we act. It's not simply that we shut down all our faculties of mental capabilities and then simply say that, yes, I will do whatever you say. It will be nice if we do what Krishna says to that extent. But in general, people don't have that tendency. And in general, we have some, at least as long as there is some intelligence, even material also, people inquire. So that's what Prabhupada is saying. If that is the case, then what to speak of the spiritual life? Why are we not asking what is the goal of life? And if one asks what is the goal of life, all the answers can be obtained to solve all the types of problems of material life from a bona fide spiritual master. That takes surrender, that takes submission, but at least at the beginning level, it takes a level of understanding that why am I doing, or inquisitiveness, why I'm doing what I'm doing. If there is no such inquisitiveness, if you are simply satisfied, okay, I'm doing my work, I'm earning some money, it's good, let the life be, I'm happy, enjoying. Then Prabhupada is saying there is no difference between the animalistic life and the human life. Because a dog can procreate and a cat can procreate. And when they procreate, it's tens in number, like puppies. It's not one or two. These days, this popular thing is somebody somewhere, some triplets are born, and that becomes the news. But cats and dogs do that every day. They, when they give birth to their offspring, it's in nothing less than two or three. So what's the? They don't have a Facebook to advertise, or they don't have a Twitter to, okay, here it is. But in the human society, we are. One time, Prabhupada went to a preaching program, and then and Prabhupada is very compassionate, or has always been, and then he would just go to, not like, oh, this is a sadhaka, he's been practicing for the last 5 years chanting the holy name, so let me go to his home. He would just go to any person who would invite him, and then he would take his disciples, all his Western disciples. And then they would all go, and then they would sit, and then this Indian family, and then the head of the household, he comes, and then he introduces himself, offers obeisances, and then he says, he calls his wife, and then he calls his sons, and then he calls their wives, and then he calls their children, and then Prabhupada turns to his disciples, and he says, this is my sex life. He's saying that this is my wife, the householder, the person. He was saying that this is my wife, this is my husband, or children, whatever that is, and then Prabhupada turns and says, this is my sex life. So what is the difference? That's the inquisitiveness that Prabhupada is directing towards, that we have to have certain basic understanding that we are different than animalistic propensities. If we simply act upon our instinct, then okay, that's fine. Then we have to hear what Prahlad Maharaj is saying, that you have to go through the cycle and reap the results of what you have sown, the fruitive activities. If you are so interested in that, then this is what's going to happen. But let's not do that. That's not what a compassionate person would advise. A compassionate person would, like Srila Prabhupada, his advice to us is to get out of that animalistic way of life and reach towards the Supreme. And that's the message that for which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also appeared. And that's the message he sent forth his followers. And as we're going to hear more today about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Haridas Thakur, I think I brought Chaitanya Charitamrita because I was very inspired to read a few verses because I felt it's very inspiring because we are going to go out on the street to do the monthly Sankirtan festival, Harinam. So I will just read a few verses, the translation, which directly, talking about the glories of the holy name, coming from the mouth of the Acharya of the holy name. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita Anchalila, chapter 39. So just like today we read about how different people, without knowing the goal of life, what is it that they can benefit from? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked this question long time back to Haridas Thakur, and he expressed his concern. My dear Thakur Haridas, in this age of Kali, most people are bereft of Vedic culture and therefore they are called Yavanas. They are concerned only with the killing cows and Brahminical culture. In this way, they all engage in sinful acts. How will these Yavanas be delivered? To my great unhappiness, I do not see any way. Haridas Thakur replied, My dear Lord, do not be in anxiety. Do not be unhappy to see the condition of the Yavanas in material existence. Because the Yavanas are accustomed to saying, Ha Rama, Ha Rama, O Lord Ramachandra, they will very easily be delivered by this Namabhas. A devotee in advanced ecstatic love exclaims, O my Lord Ramachandra, O my Lord Ramachandra, but the Yavanas also chant, Ha Rama, Ha Rama, just see their good fortune. Namacharya Haridas Thakur, the authority on the chanting of the holy name, said, The chanting of the Lord's holy name to indicate something other than the Lord is an instance of Namabhas. Even when the holy name is chanted in this way, its transcendental power is not destroyed. So, I'll read a couple of more. Even a mlecha who is being killed by the tusk of a boar and who cries in distress again and again, Ha Rama, Ha Rama, attains liberation. What then to speak of those who chant the holy name with veneration and faith? Ajamil was a great sinner during his life, but at the time of death, he accidentally called for his youngest son, whose name was Narayan, and the attendants of Lord Vishnu came to relieve him from the bonds of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death. The letters of the holy name... The word Rama consists of the two syllables Ra and Ma. These are unseparated and are decorated with the loving word Ha, meaning O. The letters of the holy name have so much spiritual potency that they act even when uttered improperly. If a devotee once utters the holy name of the Lord, or if it penetrates his mind or enters his ear, which is the channel of oral reception, that holy name will certainly deliver him from material bondage, whether vibrated properly or improperly, with correct or incorrect grammar, or properly joined or vibrated in separate parts. O Brahmana, the potency of the holy name is therefore certainly great. However, if one uses the vibration of the holy name for the benefit of the material body, for material wealth and followers, or under the influence of greed or atheism, in other words, if one utters the name with offenses, such chanting will not produce the desired result very soon. Therefore, one should diligently avoid offenses in chanting the holy name of the Lord. So, like I said, the chapter continues with many more descriptions or the glorifications of the holy name. The chapter is actually titled The Glories of Haridas Thakur. And we can take that inspiration because how do we get out of this materialistic way of life? Yoga Dharma is chanting the holy name and Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And by chanting the holy name in the association of devotees and following the instructions of the spiritual master, those are the key principles to get us out of this materialistic way of life and place us at the feet of Krishna. So I'd like to pause there and see if there is any discussion. discussion. Okay. Thank you all very much. Srila Haridas Thakur ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki, Jai.